Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you for noise. Thank you for grandparents and for influence and for legacy and things that are left behind so that Jesus' name may be praised. Lord, as we are reminded of who you are, we come before you humbly and in your word to learn and learn how to be righted by Scripture. So send your spirit, O Lord, to awaken us and open our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I can only speak from one end of the grandparent perspective, and it's not because I am a grandparent, and that's good for right now. I can speak from a grandchild perspective. And I can tell you that I have few memories of my blood grandparents. I can remember my grandfather sharpening a Chinese throwing star that I brought him. He lived 10 hours away in Missouri. And I had these throwing stars that I would throw in the fence. And he remember him sharpening one so sharp that it nearly injured somebody. I remember that. And I remember him taking me to a bowling alley. He was an avid bowler. And I remember him parading me around his bowling alley, telling everyone, This is my grandson. I can remember my grandmother taking us to the store when I was a wee lad, and she would give us $10 at Walmart or TGNY or whatever the store was to go find a toy every trip I would go. And my main goal of the trip was get that $10 toy. And that's what I remember. But when I was in 10th grade, I met and I started spending a lot of time with my wife. And I started spending a lot of time with a new set of grandparents, ones who were there. And they didn't have the same blood as I did, but there's no question they're my grandparents. And I won't call them anything else because they loved me. They were there to throw a birthday party for me. They were there at my graduation. They were there at all of the things that families do together. They were there. And I even had great-grandparents that were around. And a great-great-grandmother for a season. Grandparents are what you remember and are influential in lives. And so while I can only speak from one perspective at this point, I hope to give you a much greater perspective than mine this morning. And that's the perspective of the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask and invite you to open up to the book of Ezekiel. And as we look in the book of Ezekiel this morning, chapter 18 is where we'll begin. Ezekiel is a book that we're studying through. And I found it fitting and gracious of God as we planned Grandparents' Day at the beginning of the year, that today, and in this week's reading, we have a chapter about family. And so I say, Lord, this must be your word for today. So if you hadn't been with us, we're walking through the Bible together, studying the story of redemption, God making things right. And today there's an emphasis upon family, and that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. So Ezekiel chapter 18 is where we begin. And I know that some of you who are here this morning, you may have some weight upon you that your grandchildren, maybe they're not living the lives you expected them to live. Maybe they're not pursuing the Lord in the way that you had hoped they would. I know that some of you may be thinking, well, that's not your business anyway. I know some of you might be thinking that it's too late to make any sort of influence or change in a family member's life, in a grandchild or great-grandchild's life, or that your influence doesn't really matter. And some of you may be thinking that your grandparents don't really matter a whole lot, and you don't really care for the time that you do get to spend with them. There are a lot of things that maybe some of us are thinking in here this morning. But if I can share with you, just for a short season, that God's Word gives us truth. And God's Word gives us things that guide our families and the principles of our hearts, whether you're a grandchild this morning, you're a grandparent this morning, or you're anywhere in between. I want to share with you, God's Word has truth for us today. And I'd like to get into that truth and share that truth with you today, if you would listen. Not to me, but to the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1. The Word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. I'll read that again, because it's a proverb, and sometimes proverbs take a little bit more than one time to figure out. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Well, you may say, what is that proverb saying? Well, what do sour grapes do? And you understand they're speaking of the acid in these sour grapes rotting teeth. And what the proverb is saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and it has set their children's teeth on edge. And the proverb was meant to understand what the father does affects the child. That things are passed down. And that's the proverb that they would say one to another. And a father might tell his son, or a grandfather might tell his son about his actions directly influencing the condition of one below him. So there it is. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Verse 3, as I live, declares the Lord, this proverb shall what? No more be used. What? The Lord is revoking this proverb that has been used in the land of Israel. Verse 4. Behold, what does he say? Behold what? All souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Now what we see here is the Lord doing a great work. He is sending out a corrective word here today. And you think, well, where did they get this proverb? Is it in the Bible? And you can do a search, and I'll go ahead and tell you, no. The proverb about the grapes is not in the Bible. But there is a principle that's in the Bible that they probably developed this proverb from. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5... Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, you're going to see the principle somewhat laid out. And the principle, or the scripture in Deuteronomy says this, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. That all sounds great, right? For I, the Lord, am a jealous God. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and to the fourth generation. So did you hear that? I'm a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity, what? To the grandchildren and the what? The great-grandchildren of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Well, what does this passage mean? Does it mean the same as the sour grapes passage? And that's a question we have to ask. Is the Lord teaching that the sons are cursed because of their parents or grandparents? And this is a topic that's come up. We've even discussed it here in our ladies' Bible study. I know once. Are there generational curses that are passed down from one generation to another? Well, you go back to what Ezekiel says, and the Lord seems to say very clearly that this is not the case. So if it's not the case, then what does this verse mean that the Lord visits the iniquity on the third to the third and the fourth generation. Well, we need to understand what the Word of God says, because it seems pretty clear that that's what he's saying. So, what do we do here? Well, what we do is we say, Scripture can't contradict what? Scripture. So what can it, what does it mean? And while it can mean that there's a curse that can be passed down from generation to generation, in this place it really can't mean that, because Ezekiel, the Word of God through Ezekiel, says it can't mean that. So let's look at another passage that might help us in interpreting what does this passage mean, because oftentimes people believe a lie that I'm cursed because of my parents or my grandparents, or I'm stuck in this because of my parents or grandparents, or I have to be this way, or God made me this way because of this or that or the other. And let me share with you that God never made you to be sinful. He doesn't want you to be sinful. So let's look at another passage. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. It's a very similar passage, if you got it. It says, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a what? Now what you're seeing is, this is the two givings of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20. But here how he says it here in Exodus 20. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who what? Who hate me. But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who keep me and who keep my commandments. Now, do you see, and I want to accent this idea, and go back to verse 5 if you will, Craig, the idea of the ones who receive the iniquity, visiting the iniquity, are of those who what? Who hate God, right? Who are godless. And what he's speaking of, what Moses, think of the context here. Israel is the only land in all of the world who's received these good commandments of God. And there are the godless out there who are self-seeking, self-serving, and who have no regard for the living and true God. And what Moses is giving here in Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20 is a very clear message that what people do affect people down the road. Visiting iniquity does not mean there is a curse, but it means that there are what? Consequences. And there's a big difference. And to understand this text properly is, it's not that someone is cursed because of their parents or grandparents, but that there are consequences as a parent or grandparent. Now, I'm not going to ask for any hands, but I am sure that if I asked you, how many of you came from a family that did not teach Christianity? That there are those in this room that would say, well, that's me, my family. My parents, my grandparents did not affirm Christianity and did not affirm my faith. And yet, you are here. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I could also say, hey, grandparents and parents, you may have children who are not, or grandchildren who are not affirming Christianity. So what is the Bible speaking to us today? And it's very important. There is no generational curse. Meaning, there's no destiny because of who your parents are, or your grandparents are, or who your grandchildren are, children, in that they cannot be redeemed by God. Let me say that again, because I don't know that y'all are quite listening. There is no curse that your children or grandchildren cannot be redeemed by God. And that's the truth of Scripture. And that is what the Lord is bringing through Ezekiel to clarify. There's nothing wrong with what he said in Deuteronomy and Exodus. But he's bringing clarity to people who have taken a word of God and misinterpreted it. So let me step over to the other side for a moment and say, so is there any, or are there any reasons that you as a parent or grandparent should even invest in your children? If there's no curse, if there's nothing passed down, then does it matter what you do as a parent or a grandparent? Does it matter? I don't see anybody's head. Y'all are afraid this morning. I got one head. Thank you, Nana. I got one head. Yes, of course it matters. It's not that there are no consequences. We all know that, the reality of life. So let me encourage you, parents, grandparents, there are absolutely consequences for what you do. And you don't know how many children or even adults now who say, I gave my life to the Lord because of what? My grandmother who prayed for me and shared the gospel with me. My grandfather who was a man of God. I hear it all the time. Yes, it matters what we do. But ultimately, let me frame this up for us. It matters what we do. Grandparents, it matters what you do. But God can redeem anybody. The Lord can redeem any situation. And that's what we're studying through, this story of redemption. Children and grandchildren, y'all hear me now. You are not in any way cursed or punished for your parents' or grandparents' decisions. No. Guess whose decisions that you are responsible for? Your own. And I hope that as a parent, I've clearly taught that. That it is the soul who sins shall die. And that's the teaching of Ezekiel in verse 4. Let's continue reading in Ezekiel. And let's go down to verse 14. Ezekiel 18, verse 14. Now suppose this man fathers a son who sees all the sins that his father has done. He sees and does not do likewise. So the child is doing good or bad? He's doing good. He's not doing the sins that his father's done. Verse 15. He does not eat upon the mountain or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. Does not defile his neighbor's wife. Does not oppress anyone. Exacts no pledge, commits no robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry, covers the naked with a garment. Notice abstaining from things and doing good things. Withholds his hand from iniquity, takes no interest or profit. Obeys my rules and walks in my statutes. He shall not die for his father's iniquity, but what? He shall surely live. Do you see it? Redemption has happened. Verse 18. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should not the son suffer for the iniquity of the father when the son has done what is right, just and right, and has been careful to observe all my statutes? He shall surely live. Doesn't make sense, does it? Verse 20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness, and hear this, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So let me share this with you. There are many lies or untruths, if you want to call them that, that are floating around our culture and that might be floating around in your head. And so let me give you great clarity from the authority of the Word of God. You are not responsible for anyone else's decisions in life. Can I say that again? Because I got an amen. That means it's true. You are not responsible for anyone else's decisions in life. Let that sink in and make sure that you understand that on the authority of the Word of God, you are not responsible for people's decisions. I am not saying that you cannot influence people's decisions or point people in the right direction or help people along the way. And I'm not saying that your effort or time is in any way wasted. In fact, I'm saying the exact opposite. And I'm encouraging you, as I see a good uncle even now helping out his family in the service. Good job, Uncle. Help. Extend a helping hand. But at the end of the day, parents, grandparents, you are not responsible for your children's decisions. And you cannot bear the guilt or the weight of their decisions. One of my most constant prayers is, Lord, bring salvation to my children. Save their souls. Lord, transform their lives. Save their souls. Conform them to the image of Jesus. But at the end of the day, that is not my job. It is the job of the Spirit of God to do His job according to the will of God. Amen? Amen. And I share the gospel. I share the Bible. I do everything that I know that I can do to help my children see Jesus. But that's not my responsibility. And it does not weigh upon me. Let me give you another truth of the Word of God. Verse 21. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Y'all still with me? Good. Ezekiel 18, verse 21. Verse 21. So our first truth to combat an untruth is that your decisions cannot be you cannot curse or pass down a curse to children. And that gets rid of an excuse for you, children and grandchildren, and you might be, I understand. You might be an 83-year-old child or grandchild. I'm okay with that. You're still a child or grandchild. But don't use the excuse that mom and dad raised me this way, so I just missed God. God is not there to be missed. The Lord is there to redeem you, even here and now. And if you're 10 years old or 90 years old, the Lord is here to redeem you here and now. There is no curse that the Lord cannot redeem. Second truth is, do not bear the guilt and the weight of decisions that you did not make. It's just the way it is. And you may not have done everything that you could have. I get that because I'm there. I live that. I know. Man, I should have done it this way. I should have done it that way. But those are not your decisions. Thirdly, let's keep reading. Verse 21. All right. But if a wicked person turns away from all of his sins that he's committed and keeps all my statutes and does what is just and is right, he shall what? Redemption. Do you see it? The wicked person can turn from sin and be redeemed. And that's not just for Ezekiel's day 2,700 years ago. That is for our day today. Redemption is here and redemption is near. To all of those who will call upon the name of the Lord, praise God. He shall surely live and not die. Verse 22. None of the transgression that he's committed shall be remembered against him. Y'all, this makes no sense. Let me read that again. This should make you go, huh? If God is just and right and perfect, perfect justice can't just forget bad things that are done. Y'all know that. No good judge just says, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Y'all all go away and be happy. We don't elect judges like that. We can't. Our society would fall apart. Verse 22, I'll read it again. None of the transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him. So is God not a good judge? For the righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord? And not rather that he should what? Y'all see it? I don't have pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says. I have pleasure that they should do what? Help me out.
Turn and live.
Turn and live. 700 years before Jesus, Ezekiel preaches the gospel. The gospel of turn, repent, and live. And this is the message that Jesus very clearly brought to us, and that the apostles brought to us. And that grandparents, you need to bring to your families. It's not a new message. I love when we sing hymns, because they're songs and tunes most of us recognize. We can sing it over and over and it pours out true. Love them. And my daughter loves them. Especially. We love to sing these things that are tried and true. And Miss Belinda knows, and she'll tell you, there are some bad ones out there, right? But there are some really good ones that we've sang for hundreds of years that are the truth, told over and over. And grandparents, this is what we do. This is what you do. This is what a parent does. I'm not making up things to teach my kids. If I'm making up stuff, then I'm probably teaching them something I shouldn't. It is our job to faithfully communicate the message of truth. And the message is this: repent and live. Come before the Savior who died and bled on a cross, that your sins might be forgiven. I'll go back to my question earlier. Is the Lord a bad judge? Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. Is the Lord a bad judge? No. Then how has he done it? And this is what points us to the focal point of what the church is. Does it not? What's the church all about? It's all about one name under heaven, and that name is what? It's Jesus. Is the Lord a bad judge? That's the question as we read through Scripture. Go, I can't give that stuff. He doesn't forget it. He forgives it. Amen. There's a big difference. The sin is not just forgotten about or unattended to. The bad judge says, I don't care what you do. You're not guilty. Have fun in life. Well, it's not a whole lot of fun when your stuff's being stolen and your dad's being murdered. It's not fun for everybody. And that's why we have justice. And that's why the Lord says, I'm not just forgetting about your sin. I'm doing something about it. And what did he do, church? Y'all help me out. What did he do to your sin? He nailed it to the cross. That's what he did. He sent his son because he loves you. He nailed your sin to the cross, that it might be remembered against you no more. Glory. Come on, y'all. Glory. That's good news. And this is the message, faithful grandparents and parents, we bring. It's the message that's old and tried and true. It's the gospel that saves. Repent of your sin. Confess yourself to Jesus Christ and say, I am no longer Lord of my life. I am giving you authority, and I'm willingly laying down my life as Jesus did. I'm willingly laying down my life to follow my Savior, Jesus Christ, who can pay for my sin so that his righteousness shall be upon me. That's just what Ezekiel told us. So, children, grandchildren, parents and grandparents, my simple and great message to you is choose life. Choose life. Repent and live. And finally, may I show you this last section in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. But when a righteous person turns and away from his righteousness and does injustice and does some abominations that the wicked person does, shall he live? And what do you say? A righteous person turns away from doing righteousness and begins to do unrighteous things. Shall he live because of all of the good things that he did early in life? None of the righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered. for the treachery of which he is guilty, and the sin he has committed, for them he shall die. Grandparents, let me say a word, if I may, to you. There is a temptation in life sometimes to say, I've done enough. I've done my turn. I've given what I can. And now I'm just going to ride off into the sunset. I'll follow John Wayne. And I want to encourage you that there is great value and meaning in the role of grandparent. I can tell you that in my family, if it weren't for Nana, we wouldn't have been able to do family like we can, like we do. And it continues. There's no price you can put on it of what grandparents can do, of what the value of what a grandparent's role is. So let me overstate, if I can. Your role is very valuable. And I don't want to tell you how to do your role, because I'm not there, and I understand that. But I do want to tell you to do your best to fulfill the role that you have. As someone who is involved in your family, because God puts you there. The Lord designed and orchestrated family to be the place in which He communicates His love, His gospel, His redemption, where He communicates His good laws and principles, and that you are a part of that. You are a part of that. So take up that role and do it well. Continue that role. Don't give up on that role. Your children and grandchildren want you as a part to support the work of what the Lord has. Verse 30 says this. Let's draw everybody back in together. Let's read these last two verses. Everybody, hear this. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgression, lest iniquity being your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you've committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. So turn and live. And that is the message that Ezekiel brought. And this is the message I bring for you this morning. Ezekiel also continues this idea of the new heart and new spirit. So let me say this in closing. The power of a grandparent in someone's life is something that can't be counted or measured. However, it is not something that you do in your own strength. And I can say that from a parent perspective. I know that parents are very important in the lives of their children. But I also know that it is not my own strength and my own power that I try to parent. And so I can only imagine, grandparents, that it's the same for you. That the strength that the Lord gives with a new heart and a new spirit is what can empower you to be the influence that you need to be in your family's life. Grandchildren, can I encourage you, call upon you to listen to what's going on in your family and to watch what's happening in your family and know that it's not all about you. A lot of things are directed around kids, and that's good to a point. But sometimes I think kids, y'all listening, sometimes y'all get the idea that it's all about you. It's not. You have loving parents and grandparents who are trying to make you happy, and that's good. But don't get caught in the trap that everything's about you. Because for your parents or grandparents, it's about Jesus. It ought to be. And your family ought to be about Jesus. So listen sometimes. Colby, Hannah, listen to what's going on in your family and say, they're trying to help me know Jesus. Ethan, they're trying to help you know Jesus. Listen to them. Because your grandparents and your parents, they want bigger things than just for you to be happy. Seek the Lord and live. Repent and live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love, for your word, and we thank you that you've brought grandparents into this house this morning to worship the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray that our families would be different. I pray that our families would be faithful to the ministry that needs to happen within the family. And I pray, oh God, that you use our families to impact the kingdom and impact this world, because you have a special call on the Christian family. Lord, help us use our Christian influence in our family in whatever way we can. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.